from stpetecatalyst.com.
Hello, hello, hello.
Hello, hello, hello.
Yes. Welcome once again. Bill DeYoung here with Arts Alive, the podcast of the St. Pete Catalyst. Today, my guest is Jeremy Douglas, who is, among many other things, the musical director of Job Sites Alice, this entirely strange, wacky cabaret that's going on at Job Site Theater inside the Strass Center. Hello, sir.
Hello.
What a weird show, man.
Yeah.
Weird show. There's so much to talk about, and because you built this from the ground up, which I think is just so fascinating.
Yeah.
That, I mean, obviously, it's Lewis Carroll. Lewis Carroll stuff would be in public domain at this point.
It is.
So you basically...
All bets are off.
Yeah, so...
Do whatever you want.
It's either you or Disney. So, okay. Well, look, Jeremy, you've been doing a lot of, you know, musical work for a job site for a couple of years now. And it seems like, I don't know if it's since the pandemic or what it is, but it's like every time... Yeah, I see a lot of stuff at job site. You've written the music,
yeah.
And is this kind of where your, I don't know, your heart is leading you now, or your ambition? Are you becoming more of a theater person?
Yeah, I think so. I come from the live performance jazz club gigging world.
Yeah,
that's where I lived since my late teens, and
it's a multi-hyphenate.
Yeah, and then you know there's a theater pitfall for musicians. You know, you start doing a theater gig, and then that's all you can do because you know you go away into a show for a couple months, and all of your gigs have moved on with other players. So your show's over, and you're like, hey, I'm ready to come back and play. And like, we already found.
So basically, once you commit to being a theater person, that's pretty much it. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, I think it's like that. It's a myth, maybe, but I mean, it's definitely there's truth to it. I've only been doing job site stuff for the past several years.
Mm-hmm.
You know, occasionally a gig, playing piano somewhere solo, but all of my musician friends, you know, with the gigs, they've moved on without me. And I,
hey, when you want to come back, it's still.
But
gonna be
in a,
there,
it, you know, I mean, it's beneficial in a way. My body is not what it used to be, and the idea of, you know, my career being. Most of those gigs, you know, you're loading equipment and pulling up alongside the club and getting your gear out and setting it up and then playing it and then tearing it down. More than half the gig is moving heavy equipment, and
you're kind of over that.
I'm so over that.
Yeah.
My body is fully rejecting it now. You know, I will suffer as a result.
Well, can you say that theater work is easier work, less heavy lifting?
For me, physically, it's easier work. I would say mentally, it's not easier work. But I'm not having problems mentally. I'm only having problems physically. So it's a fair trade.
Didn't you just stage manage something over there, too?
I did Hamlet.
It was Hamlet, yeah.
And I'm going to go back and do it again for when they get that group back together to do Rosencrantz and Guildenstern.
Oh, wow, look at this. So yeah. One of the things I think that's so interesting about Job Site amongst all the theater companies around here is that, you know, they'll go that extra mile to produce either a soundscape or original songs.
Yep.
And we're still not even talking about Alice yet.
No, yeah.
But, you know, so that must be appealing to you. What can you do for this show, man?
For Rosencrantz?
Yeah, or I mean, when David Jenkins, the artistic director, would come to you and say, we're doing this, what can you do? That's like an open palette.
Yeah, and David...
You know, a blank canvas or whatever.
David Jenkins, he's in my experience, he's different from a lot of other producing artistic directors in that, I mean, he's Miles Davis, you know? He's a great player, but I think he knows where his strengths are, and that's in assembling a team,
mm-hmm.
you know? And that's what Miles did. I mean, you know, Miles... Great player, legendary, but he put the greatest bands of all time together for that era. And he did it over and over and over again. He was an administrator of jazz musicians.
What's that process like for you, though? Say, okay, here's, I remember Misery where you had this sort of percussive kitchen sounds going on, and sitting in the audience and thinking that it was kind of unsettling, and thought, well, somebody really thought this out.
Right. Well, you know that's so that was with Paul directing, and Paul's a little bit more hands-on.
Paul Potenza.
Paul Potenza. Yeah. He's a little bit more hands-on. He wants to be part of the process, you know, and that's great. That's just more information for me. Mm-hmm. So actually, I get a lot more anxious working with someone like David, who's just like, "Hey, whatever you want to do is fine with me. It's gonna be great." And then I'm overwhelmed, you know, with option anxiety.
Option anxiety. That's what we're gonna call this podcast.
Yeah. So, with Paul Potenza, he had an idea, and early on in the making of that, I was like, what if the score was just percussion and it was all just items from around the house? And he was like, that's great. Can it have a typewriter in it too? And
I'm
like,
Oh, of course.
Why didn't I think of that? So, a little more collaboration, with David, he just says, go, just do your thing.
Let's talk about Alice,
okay?
Because it, as we were saying, was built from the ground up, as it were. I mean, whose idea was it? I wonder if it was like, because Shock-Headed Peter had been so successful, this sort of like, you know, European bizarro cabaret thing.
Yeah.
Let's do something similar. Was it as simple and dopey as that?
Pretty much. I can't speak for exactly how the idea originated. Somewhere between David and Spencer.
Yes.
Spencer has been working for years as a visual artist.
Mm-hmm.
He's designed a full deck of cards based on Alice in Wonderland. And that project is a long time in the making, probably, I'm going to assume, before we even did Shock-Headed Peter, he was working on this. It's a personal obsession of his. Somewhere in the nexus between Shock-Headed Peter and Spencer's existing Alice in Wonderland art, there was a quest. What can we do to sort of recreate this experience we had with Shock-Headed Peter?
Uh-huh.
Because Shock-Headed Peter, when we got it, it's just a sketch.
Yeah.
None of the things that you saw or really even heard are part of the script. We felt like we built Shock-Headed Peter from the ground up with uh-huh. a kernel of an idea, which was the songs.
Yeah.
And the script, which was always a very minimal. I mean, there were long stretches in Shock-Headed Peter with no dialogue, no talking.
But those songs already existed.
That's
the difference.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But we definitely made them our own.
Yeah.
You know, we instrumentated.
Works for me.
We arranged them in our way.
Yeah.
So we felt like we had already done a lot of the heavy lifting on what it's like to put together and workshop a show. We just didn't write the songs. We didn't write the script. But the songs and the script, the information on how we got to put those together was so bare bones anyway. We felt like we put the flesh on the skeleton. And it's like, how much harder is it to make the skeleton?
So Spencer Myers isn't in Alice, though. That kind of surprised me.
Well, he's all over it.
Well, I mean, puppets. I feel his presence in the room.
Right.
But he was in Shock-Headed Peter.
Yeah, he was our narrator.
Yeah, and so I was a little surprised that I knew his fingerprints were all over this, that he's not actually physically in it.
Yeah,
so,
I know.
Well, let's talk about...
But he's in there in every rehearsal. Yeah, I mean, I feel like he's in it. I mean, I see him all the time.
Let's talk about the process of putting this together. So someone, I assume that was David, or, you know, David and... The brain trust of David and Colleen and
Katrina
for of
a
course
large,
okay
a large part
you take
of
the yeah. you take the words of Lewis Carroll and you say, how do we mix some sort of, I mean, obviously there are various storylines in these Alice stories,
yeah.
but how do we make some a construct out of them? And then you have to, using Spencer's like visual designs,
mm-hmm.
but then you, how do you decide that's going to be a song? A lobster quadrille.
I didn't, you know? I don't think any one of us decided any one thing. I think of it more like ants moving a big thing into the ant mound. It's mm-hmm. like not one ant carries the thing all the way from where they find it to where it gets in. It gets dropped, it gets picked up by other ants. And that's how I think about how we did it. No one person did all of one thing.
Well, you wrote all the music.
I wrote all the music to an extent. You know, some of the songs, like, there's maybe four or five songs that are straight up Lewis Carroll lyrics.
Yeah.
The White Knight song, Child of Pure Unclouded Brow. These are all poems that, like, early on, I just went to work on those songs.
Sure.
There's other stuff like The Lobster Quadrille and Turtle Soup and Alice's Interrogation between those two queens.
Yeah.
That was a collaborative effort that usually would start with somebody writing some lyrics, Colleen or Cassandra, and with the lyrics they would have maybe a melody or a rhythmic structure. They'd send me a little recording, and then I would take that, and then I would alter it, move stuff around, with their permission. You know, hey, do you mind if I change this? Can I cut this line? Mm. Can I add a line? How do you feel about this? Nobody took ownership of anything. We just sort of all sort of checked in with each other before we made changes. And then I would move from their sketch of an idea into the song. And I would always finish them up. So like Alice's Interrogation.
Yeah.
Cassandra wrote a whole thing. Yeah, you know, with chords and melody and stuff.
Cassandra Rose, of course, is a very good songwriter.
She's a very good songwriter.
Yeah.
However, I took that sort of idea that she had, but she had fleshed out quite a bit, and then I altered it to sort of fit in the aesthetic of the rest of the songs that I had already started. Like, so it was a benefit in a way of early on me grabbing these Lewis Carroll poems. We know we want this poem to feature as a song, so
yeah.
I'll just write the music and set. I didn't change the words or anything.
Oh, Turtle Soup was amazing.
Yeah.
It was so bizarre, but it really worked. It reminded me of, the whole thing reminded me of being on Mr. Toad's Wild Ride back in Disney World.
And Turtle Soup is like the most emotional song in the.
It
pulls at your heartstrings, but you realize they're just singing about a really good bowl of soup. That's it. And I said that early on. I was like, we gave that song to Ryan, and I'm like, this is the most emotional song about soup you're ever going to sing in your life. It was a collaborative effort. I established some rules about how I wanted everything to sound early on by tackling those Lewis Carroll songs on my own. And then by the time we got into the stuff where we were writing lyrics, it was easy to alter the songs that they had written to fit with the aesthetic of the stuff that I had already done.
I'm sitting here with this image of ants carrying something large together.
Yeah,
it going, is. Okay, we're all moving this forward.
Yep.
And everyone has a hand in it somewhere. How rare is that in theater?
It's rare. And I credit David Jenkins, the Miles Davis of local theater, for that. Putting the team together is capable of doing that.
You've worked with a lot of these people before, obviously. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Several are in the Florida Bee Orchestra, which I want to talk to you about here in a second. But so you know what Colleen and Cassandra, for example, are capable of musically.
Mm-hmm.
And Colleen's an unbelievably great singer.
Yeah.
You know, were there places you didn't want to go, or that's too much? I mean, did everyone serve as everyone else's sort of editor? That's a little outside, or take it further?
No, we didn't really have checks like that on stuff. And granted, some of the stuff that I wrote, melodically, it's kind of challenging. Mm-hmm. Musically, it's a weird polka. But the melody lines and the harmonies, they move weird. I'm constantly changing keys and modulating. I can't stand a song that just sits in one place.
Yeah.
So, some of the melodies are a little tricky. But they all can handle it. I've actually worked with all of them before. Everybody in the cast. We had Spence, not to be confused with Spencer Paul Myers, but Spence Gabriel.
Yeah.
Worked with him in Three Penny Opera. And Colleen, of course, and Cassandra. And Ryan, I just worked with him in Avenue Q. And Donovan, I've worked with at American Stage in the improv program.
Had you worked with Julie Ruffino before?
Julie Ruffino.
I think she's like the rising star here in theater. Julie's amazing.
She's perfection.
Yeah. What a singer.
Yeah.
Those emotional Alice ballads that you wrote, by the way, were just really good. And so I did notice that, like the key changes and the modulations and stuff, and it goes into bizarre places. I mean, you essentially sort of said, this is what I'm going to do, and this is like Lewis Carroll-ish.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, if you're doing Lewis Carroll, which is like an opium dream,
Yeah.
You know, and you're just writing like a song that just stays in its little lane the whole way through. I don't think you're really doing it any service.
That's the way the whole play kind of unspools, yeah. To tell you the truth. One thing I wanted to ask you about, you have your trio. You're the central guy, yeah. There. You're the only one who's visible on stage.
I know.
Stage.
I hate it.
Absolutely hate it.
Basically, when you see all the photos that I guess Ned,
it looks
or whoever,
like a solo show, and it's not. You
see all this wacky stuff with these puppets and these characters and these costumes, and everybody singing their heart out, and you sitting in the middle of it,
yeah,
right there. But you're on stage the whole time, but you're also playing the whole time.
There's never a moment that doesn't have sound in
the
it.
The underscore, it's, and I'm thinking, doesn't this guy ever get a break? You're the only one who's out there the whole time.
Although, I mean, my job is much easier than some of. I mean, what you're not seeing is everybody else backstage, you know, quickly changing into another costume or grabbing a prop. I mean, those people are sweating,
yeah,
through the whole thing. Nobody really gets a break.
I love the idea though that you there's music all the time, even when you know the tea party when they're just talking and saying all that. I wanted to say, speaking of that, I know when I was watching it, I remembered this Muppet Show episode with Brooke Shields.
Okay.
And they did. And I wrote something about how it's sort of like a mushroom Muppet Show.
Yeah.
You know, but Brooke Shields doing a whole Alice in Wonderland shtick, and it's the Mad Hatter and the Tea Party.
Right.
And it was totally insane. And it was a lot of the same lines. I'm going, where have I heard this before? Oh, it was a video I had when my son was little of all this Muppet Show fairy tale stuff. But that's what it felt like, was just this sort of, you know, we're all a little bit mad, but, you know, curiouser and curious. And I'm going, oh, wait, I know all these lines and the whole thing with the dormouse. And I'm going, there's really no point to what I'm saying here, Jeremy. So you can interrupt me at any time. That's what I thought of, though.
I don't know that there's any point to any of it, you know.
Touché.
What do we learn at the end of Alice? Like, what, even in the books, you know, what have we learned? I don't, it's just a crazy story. I don't. Yeah.
Well, it's a great amount of fun, and I was telling you before we went on that I like the fact that it's in the Schimberg Playhouse, the smaller room, the black box. Things in the Jabe Theater, which are always really great, of course. It's so big.
It's cavernous space.
Yeah, and I think that this one really benefits from you being right there in the middle of it.
Yeah, and you were sitting like almost in the first row.
I luckily got a great seat, I remember I saw Nicole, the stage manager, right before, and she said, make sure Cassandra doesn't kick you in the face.
Yes.
You know, when she was doing her aerial stuff. That's another thing. Here's another thing I thought about was because Katrina and Cassandra are aerial artists, because they do this stuff, you know, was there some point in the process thinking, oh, let's put them on the hoops. Let's do Tweedledee and Tweedledum on the hoops.
I think that was baked in from that was like, of course, you know, of course we're going to put them on the hoops.
Yeah. And I miss the silks. I like the silk stuff, but it was, you know, it had that three-ring circus effect, but it was almost like a, if you'll pardon the expression, I mean this in the best way, it was almost like a three-ring flea circus.
Yep.
It was just small, intimate, and weird, like you're looking through a looking glass, which I think is the point of the whole thing.
It's weird. It's weird. This is the kind of, I went to an arts high school, Pinellas County Center for the Arts.
Yeah.
And there were two types, there's two types of theater kids. There's the theater kids that smoke, and there's the theater kids that don't smoke.
Yep.
Right? And this is what a theater company looks like when all the smoking theater kids grow up and make their own shows. This is the smoking kids.
Couldn't have said it better myself. Hey, let's talk about your band.
Oh, yeah.
The Florida Bee Orchestra.
It's like a dream from another life.
It's been a while. I'm thinking pandemic kind of put the kibosh on a lot of things. Does it still exist? Do you expect it to live again?
It exists in spirit. I always want to do another show. I don't know. Without like getting too real, you know, the last 3 years were just stressful for a lot of people.
Yeah.
Me included. Yeah. I physicalized my stress and I hurt myself. And I'm seeing like several specialists trying to figure out how bad I hurt myself with all the stress. It's in my face, it's in my head, it's migraines, it's in my ears.
So there's a road to be taken.
You know, the idea of mounting a Florida Beer Extra show is an incredibly time-consuming and stressful event, and I just haven't really had it in me to take on all of that, all that work.
Understood. So working in theater kind of scratches the itch for you.
Oh, sure. I mean, I'm it's a creative job, and I'm doing all of my creative things, you know, and there are other people who are managing their stress a lot better, who are taking care of the day-to-day stuff for me. So that's a benefit, you know? There's like 20 beer orchestra shows I want to do. We're getting to the point now where I think we don't have to worry so much about things getting canceled due to COVID, maybe.
Yeah. Well,
for a long time, that was a big concern.
Yeah.
It's one event. It's one show. It's 25 people in the crew of the band. If one of them goes down, there's not a whole lot of other people that I know that I'm going to fill in at the last minute and be able to afford them.
Well, it's kind of like Alice, too. I mean, aren't there understudies for the show?
No. So, you know, if something goes wrong, the show goes down.
Yeah.
You know, and Alice has the benefit of having 4 weeks of shows to be able to try to recoup some of those losses. But, you know, we do one show with the orchestra, and if it goes down, it goes down. And that's just a lot of investment that's gone. I think we're getting to a point now where I don't have to really worry about that as much, which it pains me because now I have to look at the other reasons why I'm not doing it.
Yeah.
I can't really blame that one anymore.
Understood. Well, I mean, obviously we wish you the best and hope that happens again. And I personally want to be a background singer someday. Right. And, you know, I just thought I'd put that out there.
Confront my Gordon Lightfoot tribute.
That's right. If you could read my mind, Jeremy, I want to be part of that. Hey, Alice, Job Sites Alice runs through June the 4th in the Schimberg Playhouse. That is at the Strauss Center for the Performing Arts in beautiful downtown Tampa, Florida. And it is definitely worth your time. I want to say thank you to Jeremy Douglas.
Thank you.
Musical maestro, and which might be redundant, but...
Are there other maestros? Are chefs like maestros?
Maestros, ratstros. Jeremy, listen, man, thank you so much for dropping in.
Thanks for having me.
And we'll see you down the road.
See you later.
From stpetecatalyst.com.